Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the important issues that you face in life right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. Or to help you remember, it's 844-32-BASIC. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. And now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. All this month, we've been looking at the incredibly important reality of the resurrection of Jesus and why it is so important for us. And I want to read a passage today that helps us get some of the benefit. What is it that we get because of this resurrection? It's in 2 Timothy, in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. I'm going to start in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Right? Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy's been dealing with all kinds of stuff. Timothy was a rather young guy, and now he's in charge of this collection of house churches, and there are people who are older than him who have been giving him a hard time, and sometimes he's feeling a little put out, and he's not quite sure what to do. How does Paul give him encouragement? This is one of the key ways. Uh-huh. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. And we've seen that before, as we've talked about 1 Corinthians 15 and other places. The resurrection of Jesus was central to Paul's gospel. For which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why can we obtain salvation in Christ Jesus? Because he is raised from the dead. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Wow.
That is powerful.
That's good stuff right there.
And don't get all wrapped around the axle on this. If we disown him, he will also disown us. Paul's not saying, oh, you'll lose your salvation if you ever mess up. Now, he's talking about people who hear this message and say, no, I don't think so. I refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And even if he was, I refuse to believe it means anything to me. Well, what is Jesus going to do with that other than say, okay, that's your choice, live with it, just try.
Yeah.
Okay. But for the rest of us, if we died with him, and we know that that's true in a picture form in the baptism that many of us have been through, and it's a picture of dying. Well, we'll also live with him because we were raised up from that baptism as well. If we endure, we will also reign with him. This echoes what is said in Revelation so many times. You who endure to the end will be saved. And it's not that if you endure, but watch out, because if you don't, it's all of us fail. But if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, even in the hard times, in spite of your own mistakes, you are going to reign with him because he guarantees it. If we are faithless, and how many times are we faithless? I mean, I'm faithless when I drive in traffic. You know, I'm faithless when I hit my finger with a hammer. I make a mistake playing the piano. I just get all wrapped up. But he remains faithful because he will not, cannot disown himself. And so what Jesus does for me, when I'm in that faithless point, he literally says to me, like I used to say to my own kids, look at me. Look at me. I mean, he takes my face in his hands and brings it away from whatever it is that's messing me up and says, look at me. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, his faithfulness is what brings us back into line. And he always does that. There's never any condemnation. There's never any bad thing at all. There's only Jesus restoring us to himself, constantly restoring us. All of this is available to us because we remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead.
That's good stuff, Richard. Thank you for sharing that as we open the broadcast. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Again, thank you for joining us. Plenty of open lines. We want you to be a part of the conversation today. If you'd like to add on or have a question regarding the issues that Richard was just speaking of, why, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. If you have a Bible question, something you've been struggling with for a while and can't get that answer, why, give us a call right now. Again, 844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC. This is Basic Gospel. And Richard, a question from a listener in New Orleans. Very quick and easy. It says, if the Holy Spirit has withdrawn, how are people saved during the tribulation?
Well, apparently the Holy Spirit wouldn't be withdrawn. There's no indication that God is pulling the Holy Spirit away from the earth. There are direct statements that whatever God is doing to maintain relative peace on the earth, the so-called winds of strife sections, that protection is going to be pulled away. So the strife is going to come full bore. Satan is going to try to kill everyone. I mean, that's really what he wants to do. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit has been removed. Because if there are people who come out of the tribulation, the only way they can be saved out of the tribulation is if they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Mm-hmm. The only way they can do that is with the Holy Spirit wooing them, working with them as he's worked with us all of our lives, and they respond to that. And the only way to know that you're saved is that you've been given the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit's been taken away, all of us are lost, because then the Holy Spirit would have been taken away from even those of us who are saved currently. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not something I want to consider at all.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between the Holy Spirit's job in terms of salvation and whatever power God is exerting to maintain some relative stability in this world so that the strife that Satan wants to unleash is going to be unleashed. So don't confuse the two.
Yeah. Tony, hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, of course, that is 3 to 3:30 p.m. Central Time. Why, we invite you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and use that email link. We'd love to hear from you and address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel. Again, plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock, 844-32-BASIC, that's the number to call. In the meantime, let's go to New York and talk to Viviana, listening on our great affiliate of the New York area, WMCA. Hi, Viviana, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're sure welcome.
I just finished, brother, seeing me that's out, Do You Believe? And when I turned on the radio and I heard you talk about Jesus wanting us to look at him, and not being overcome by our circumstances, that he wants us to direct us.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that movie has that message.
Oh,
very
excellent.
Well acted. And the thing is that it brings people to understand, even Christians, if you believe in the cross of Christ, are you willing to do something about it? Are you willing that if someone were to convict you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? I'm so excited. Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, well, thank you for calling. Yeah, I've heard of the film. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't even seen it advertised here in the Dallas area yet. So I know it's coming. It was fairly limited release this last week. But if you just saw it, that's good news.
Yes,
it's in New York.
Okay.
And I know that if you ask your theaters, wherever you are in the country, and say you really want, you know, to get it in the theaters and then have your church or anyone would feel comfortable looking at this movie.
Yeah.
Good. It's not preachy, but it's very, very good orientation to, do you really know Jesus? Hmm. And if you don't, you need to know him now.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for letting us know about that.
Yes,
again, I've heard about it, don't know much about it, but that sounds like something worth watching.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Thank you, my brother. God bless you.
Yeah,
Viviana,
you too.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate hearing from you. And we appreciate, of course, Richard, hearing from all of our listeners who call to ask a question or to add to the conversation. We'd love for you to do that right now at 844-322-BASIC. 844-32-BASIC, I should say. And we have open lines, plenty of time on this clock. Give us a call.
Yeah, I want to add something else to Viviana's question. I think it is so refreshing that we, in this day and age, have finally started to see some Christian films that have something to say,
yeah,
that are well done,
mm-hmm,
that don't have to apologize for terrible camera work and terrible writing and terrible acting. You don't expect them to, you know, make hundreds of millions of dollars because it's a Christian film, for crying out loud. But they generate conversation, the right kinds of conversation.
Yeah.
And if you go to a film like this, and even if you don't agree with the whole thing, take it to heart, ask the questions, go into your Bible and let the Holy Spirit either convince you that you're correct or help you understand where you might have been missing a point or something. There can be only positive that comes out of that.
Absolutely.
So I haven't seen it yet, but I'm willing to believe that it's a worthwhile film.
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, Greg and I were just discussing at lunch the film that came out this past year, God's Not Dead.
Yes.
Wonderful film.
Yes, it was.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, friends, plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition. Did you know that you're loved? Well, you are. We have a collection of more than 30 scriptures expressing God's love for you. It's absolutely free. Get your copy today by clicking the link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. You'll find it right there at basicgospel.net. You are loved. We'd love to get a copy into your hands.
Yes, please do so.
Yeah. Question from Tim, who lives in WBRI. That would be the Indianapolis area, I do believe. As a Christian, are we required to go to church? Are we obligated? Please point out a verse or verses that support the answer. That's from Tim, and I believe it's Indianapolis.
Well, I can tell you what some people would say. Yes, you better go to church, or God's going to get you.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite passage on it. It's in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. And let me scroll down here. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, right? The point of church is so that children of God can come together and encourage one another. The point of church isn't to raise money. The point of church isn't to do good things in the community. The point of church isn't to have the best band in town. None of those things. The point of church is that the people of God can come together for mutual encouragement and edification, and then guess what happens? You have an impact on your community.
Yeah.
You learn how to worship because you become worshipers. All kinds of good things can happen when you go to church. Some of you don't have a church you can go to. So what are you going to do? Well, don't feel guilty about that. You know, start a local Bible study where two or three of you can get together in meaningful Christian relationship. That's church because it's the body of Christ meeting together. It's a mixed blessing, a double-edged sword. There are all kinds of things online now that you can watch, be part of church services that are streamed. I'm fully in favor of them. If you don't use that as a substitute, right? If you could have a Bible study or attend a Bible study in your neighborhood or in your area somehow, and you choose not to because, oh, I can get it online, you're just being lazy. You're missing out on that mutual edification that comes by being together with like-minded believers. So there is no rule that requires you to go to church, but is an incredible, incredible privilege to do so.
Absolutely.
And I'm blessed that I can go to a church that I'm connecting with people and learning good things. I know people who don't have good churches available to them. They're just beat up with guilt and manipulation. Don't waste your time on a church like that. That's not a church. That's just getting beat up and manipulated. Find people who love Jesus and start to meet with them over lunch, breakfast before you go to work, in the evening at a Bible study. There's a, you know, play tennis with someone who loves Jesus, and you're doing church. So, you know, be creative, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to folks, and I think you'll find plenty of opportunity.
Good input. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, and we encourage your phone call. We have plenty of time remaining on the clock. Want to hear from you, 844-32-BASIC. In the meantime, let's talk to Tony, listening in New York on WMCA. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi. Doing fine.
All right, you were talking about driving in your car and talking about getting hit with a hammer. You're not perfect, like I'm not perfect.
Oh, correct.
And I do the same thing like that. My main problem is, and answer this, and I'll hang up the phone. Jesus, in the book of John, it says that he who does not love his brethren is not, I forget how it is, does not know the Lord or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having such a hard time, and I have so many people come to mind that just really irk me. And sometimes I just scream to the Lord, Lord, you got to do this in my heart because I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't just love my enemies. And it's easy for me to do it when I'm walking in the flesh. But in the spirit, it's so, so hard. Incredibly difficult. Can you please give me some tip or advice on really how I can do something like this?
Oh, boy.
I'm having a hard time with that.
Yeah, you have hit the nail on the head, Tony. I'm glad you called because this is the issue. We like to make issues out of all kinds of things that are just so much noise. But loving people, that's the issue. And we're called to love in a way that's impossible for us. We're called to love others as Jesus has loved us. And because it's impossible, we tend to do one of two things. One, we either just throw up our hands and say, well, it'll never be done, and you give up. Or you bear down and you ball up your fists and say, you know, by God, I'm going to love these people, and you find out that you're failing. Yeah, neither of those extremes is the right thing. The only way to be able to love someone the way Jesus has loved me is for me to keep my eyes fixed firmly on Jesus and allow the indwelling Holy Spirit to renew my mind, to change the way I think, to show me spiritual logic when it comes to other people. Because if it's just up to me, I mean, I can tell you as a younger person, and I still want to do this today, but as a younger person, I'd give you one chance. And if you messed up, I just wrote you off. You know, and so I wouldn't like pick a fight with you or look for ways, you know, to slash your tires or things like that, but I would have nothing to do with you. And that is just so wrong. You know, that doesn't mean that everybody that attacks us, we need to go over to their house and be their best friend. But this love of God is always redemptive. And when you find yourself praying for someone in spite of the way they've treated you, or you find yourself when in another conversation somebody brings somebody else up and says, and you believe what this person did, and rather than pitching in with the things you could be doing or saying about that person, you back away. And you say, look, folks, I mean, let's give this person the benefit of the doubt. I mean, they've done some wrong things, but, you know, who of us is innocent?
Right,
when you find
right.
yourself doing those sorts of things, you have to go home and say, oh, Lord God, thank you, because that wasn't me. You know, because
right.
what I wanted to do was run over him with my car.
Well,
but
sometimes the Lord says to me, you know, he says, you know, forgive them for they do not know what they do.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, these people who do this, that's eternity is at stake. People are going to be in hell for eternity or in heaven for eternity is what's at stake. And I say, Lord,
yes.
how can I do this, though? But you've answered the question. I thank you very kindly, sir.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tony.
Yeah. Tony, do you have a copy of our book, Love Is? Book that Bob Christopher wrote this past year, and if you don't have it, we'd love to put a copy in your hands. Our compliments.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You hold the line, and Michelle will pick you up, and she or Vivian will get one on the way to you. So hold the line, and thanks for calling, Tony. A wonderful, wonderful conversation. Let's go on now to Brooklyn again, and we're going to talk to Eugene, listening on WMCA. It's WMCA Day, apparently.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, grace and peace, brothers. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay, I just wanted to, I was reading the book of Numbers,
uh-huh.
and Numbers, chapter 11.
Yes.
And this is when Moses took 70 elders to help him with responsibility because it was too much work for him to do on his own.
Uh-huh.
And God put his spirit on the elders,
yes.
on 70 men to help Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets down to verse 28, Joshua, son of Nun, he told Moses, it says, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been with Moses, told Moses to stop the men because they were getting the spirit. And this is the key why I'm calling, because Moses told him, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets and had the spirit. pretty much what Moses was saying was he wished that the Holy Spirit would be on all of the people. So when I read that, I just started to think of what happened on Pentecost. And this was prophesied from Joel. So even Moses wanted this same wish of everyone having the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
I think you've hit it right on the head. I mean, that's exactly what Moses was telling Joshua. Who are we to tell God, the almighty God of the universe, the only one true God, who are we to tell him, no, you can't put the Holy Spirit on that person, and even if you do, that person can't go and do what I see them doing. That's not our call. And Joshua, notice what it says beforehand, that these two guys had not gone with the other elders. See, they were listed among the elders but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them. So what Joshua was doing was saying, was giving a legalistic reason. No, they can't do that because they didn't do this. And Moses saw the truth of the situation and said, no. If the Spirit has rested on these two men, it's because the Spirit chose to and finds them worthy of being able to prophesy. And he wished everybody could do that. And so Moses was, in effect, right there, prophesying of what was coming, just like Joel did many, many years later, and what became fulfilled in us at Pentecost. I don't think we pay enough of the proper attention to Pentecost. When you realize that the fire of God traveled with the children of Israel, fire at night, the cloud by day, and that when God's glory, the fire of God, came into the temple, not even the priests could be in there when Solomon's temple was dedicated. And yet on the day of Pentecost, when that fire came down from heaven and split into the individual tongues of fire and came to rest on the people who were there, and then as people later on that day and in the following weeks and months and years, when they accepted Jesus Christ, that tongue of fire became part of them, and we get the Holy Spirit now. I mean, truly, it would be possible now, if people would accept Jesus, for everyone in the entire earth to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. What a God. I mean, that's the value of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Because he took away the sin, the thing that was separating us, the thing that killed us. And then when he raised, he said, you can have life. And on Pentecost, we got that life. So everyone could come alive if they would accept Jesus. Of course, we know they don't. But there's nothing inherent in God that would prevent anyone from receiving this Holy Spirit. And he has been giving us hints and pictures and prophecies of that throughout the Old Testament, and now it's true.
Yeah. Eugene, hope that's a help to you. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. We're out of time. And Richard, as we close the broadcast, give us your perspective on the importance of our listeners supporting this ministry as we go forward.
Well, we get letters all the time here. We get emails. Many of them you never hear on the air because they're just way too personal, and it's important that we maintain that confidentiality. But there are people out there who are being impacted in a way that is literally saving them from whatever life they've been in.
Yeah.
Whatever habits, whatever terrible things happen to them as children or as young people or as adults, whatever's been going on, the message of Jesus Christ reaches into those people, pulls them out of it, makes them alive, and begins to renew their minds. That is worth investing in. The Spirit does that. I don't do that. I'm blessed beyond measure to be able to share on radio. Imagine that, to share with all these people around the country, literally around the world by the internet. And what we're asking you to do is to invest in those people.
Yeah,
to help us give this message of Jesus Christ to others.
Absolutely. And for any of our listeners, Richard, who can make a gift at this time, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's popular book, The Naked Gospel. And to make your gift, you can go online to basicgospel.net, or you can speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Interesting calls and lots of great input from Richard. And so now for Richard and for Bob Christopher and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.